In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
And welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt Brady. Joining me, as always, is Two Beers, Thomas Davis. Thomas, how are you doing today?
I was doing good until somebody revealed my dark secret.
Hey, man, new show, new nickname. And alongside him...
Not a new nickname. That's an old nickname. Don't start that.
It's a new nickname. It's a new nickname for Box Trick. And joining us today, and he will be joining us a lot more in the future, is Ezra Buckfutter 69. Kurt, Ezra, how you doing?
Oh, man. It's
a throwback. It's a throwback to high school. The chess club. We had chess club shirts. Mine said Rambo. Ezra said Buckfutter 69. You got in a lot of trouble for it.
I got in a lot of trouble, man. I got thrown out of class. Like, I had to turn my shirt inside out. It was terrible.
I don't know why not.
That seems like a perfectly reasonable nickname. I mean,
it does. It was great. So
I don't know what you could derive from it. Like,
yeah, what does it mean? You know, I don't know.
Just right.
Okay, guys. Well, this is what I'm officially calling Box Trick 3.0 as we launch on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and just about everywhere else that'll let us. For any of you who've been following us for a while, you know, we originally started way back in the day just on some random website, and then we've been on YouTube, kind of hit or miss, just busy schedules. Thomas was in California living, Ez is making some coffee right now.
Oops, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's great.
You monster.
And, then Thomas didn't have internet for like 6 months. I don't know what happened. It was pretty crazy.
It was weird.
That's a story we will get to. But as we kind of begin our new journey here, you know, I thought there's another game that's coming out that Thomas is playing literally right now, Destiny 2. That's kind of, you know,
coming out, brought came a, out.
Came out. Brought us all to, brought us all together. And I thought we should look back. As Destiny 1 has pretty much just ended, let's look back at Destiny. Talk about its 3 years. What we thought, where it came from. Thomas, you're probably the best to talk about kind of the production side of Destiny, what we were supposed to get and what we actually got.
So I still have some vagary on the details, but everybody knows that there was a major shakeup at Bungie over Destiny pretty early on. I guess in their internal beta testing, they had a lot of testers come back in regards to the story saying like, hey, this shit is exactly like Halo 1 or very close to it. And I guess Bungie had a almost allergic reaction, or the upper levels of Bungie had an almost allergic reaction to that. They went full like raise the earth on it.
Yeah. So, and you know, is that really a bad thing? Wasn't Halo 1 great and Halo 2 great and Halo 3 pretty good except for the ending, and Halo ODST kind of average, and Halo Reach amazing, and Halo 4 trash? Really?
I liked it for what it was trying to be more than it was. Okay, I'll admit that.
Yeah. Didn't 343 make that?
No.
Bungie
Every Halo up until Reach, including Reach, was Bungie.
And then 4 and 5 were 343.
4 and 5 were 343, and 4 was awful, and 5 is good if you play multiplayer warfare and terrible in every other regard.
Did Bungie make Halo Wars?
No, that was Ensemble Studios. That was the last game Ensemble Studios made before Microsoft axed them.
Okay. Well, so anyway, back to Destiny. So from what I've understood is that they pretty much had to gut the entire story like 6 months before the game like came out.
Wow.
Pretty
much what happened is just like the head writer got the boot, essentially. Their lead composer left not that long afterwards. He left after Destiny released. They went through and like did a whole bunch of stuff to the story, which is why campaign feels kind of, or felt kind of weird in like not only the pacing but the general threads of the storyline.
And all Destiny over the 1. It's all over the place.
It is like there's a connecting thread between a lot of the issue, like a lot of the incidents that you play through in that game. But for the most part, it feels like things are kind of just shuffled around, and some things lead, like some storylines lead nowhere, and other ones have an odd amount of, like, a weirdly specific amount of attention given to them.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure isn't there footage, like beta footage and early trailer footage, like you were supposed to meet the Queen's brother at the Cosmodrome, and he was supposed to be like a completely different character. I mean, he looks the same, but it was like he was going to play a different role.
I would not be surprised that that was the case. I haven't seen that footage personally.
I'm pretty sure there's footage out there of that. Well, but nonetheless,
there was a lot of different setups for a lot of characters, I'm sure. Like, I know the Speaker was supposed to play more of a part. The Exo, the Stranger, was supposed to
be a thing.
Be a thing.
Wow. Yeah.
She disappeared real quick after that game. And hasn't
come back. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so really, I think it's kind of interesting, just Destiny's, because originally, you know, we also had Peter Dinklage as the Ghost. You know, people kind of forget that. Like, oh, yeah, we've had this different Ghost for two going on into the third year now, but
to be fair to that was more of an issue of schedule. Like, Peter Dinklage was really, really busy with Game of Thrones, and that was picking up. And let's be fair, Bungie did kind of lose their major voice acting director to 343 when the split happened. So Peter Dinklage's acting in Destiny 1 wasn't the greatest. I mean, he had a lot of really good lines, he had a lot of good deliveries, and then he had a lot of mediocre delivery and then things that didn't sound quite correct.
And you know, the other thing is Peter Dinklage isn't a voice actor. He's a really good actor, but just because you're a good actor does not mean you're a good voice actor. And it's probably something that's kind of different. I mean, he's in Game of Thrones, where you're speaking in a different kind of dialect than you would be when you're, you know, space pirate kind of hero things. whatever it is we actually are in Destiny, if you want to give us we're guardians, but
you know, say we're guardians.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, like
we're so. Space wizards, space knights, and jackasses. I mean, space hunters.
Yeah.
Called hunters.
Well, anyway, so Thomas, Ezra and I did not play vanilla Destiny. So could you kind of tell us about what vanilla Destiny was like?
Well, vanilla Destiny was, I mean, if you played the launch for Destiny 1, Destiny 2 here, it's pretty much exactly what we got. You essentially had a storyline that took you to all the different planets. There were some side missions and patrols you could do on those planets, but for the most part, it was a single story. Well, I'm not in Destiny 1, it was more like several different story threads that got started and went nowhere, but essentially it had you go through all the planets and kind of fight a big bad situation, and once you've dealt with that, everybody's all happy, and then you get the raid. Pretty much, and it's almost the exact same setup for Destiny 2, so if you're playing Destiny 2 right now, that's kind of Destiny 1, like what we went through.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing, I think, you know, now that it seems like since we've learned more that their story got gutted like 6 months out, do you think that they originally wanted Vault of Glass to be designed by a different team because they wanted it to be unique? Or do you think they were like, hey, we need somebody to design the raid?
Oh, that's... You know, I could see it either way. I really could.
I've been leaning more towards, I think it's they didn't have time and they gave the raid to someone.
I could see that. I think the raid was more of a situation of like them kind of looking at what they were building out, because the raid itself didn't have anything to do with the storyline whatsoever.
No,
it was more of like everybody during the Destiny campaign was kind of, or like in flavor text and in side conversations, always like referred to the Vault of Glass as like, hey, the Vex have this crazy vault where they have connections to time and space. Like, if you go into the vault, you may never come back because you may end up in a completely different time or a different reality.
Yeah.
Like, I know there were like codexes and stuff like that that would refer to ghosts getting lost in the Vault of Glass and ending up in like the fight between Exos and the Vex, or on the home planet of four armed aliens that are blessed by the Traveler, aka the Fallen, hint, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in the end, like, the Vault of Glass was like, okay, well, that's going to be our first raid, is invading the Vault of Glass and kind of exploring it out as Guardians now that you've kind of fixed a big bad issue. And that's how we got the Vault of Glass. Then later on, Crota and Oryx and Wrath of Machine, all those would be more based on the individual storylines for that expansion. Vault of Glass was just a separate thing. It was more of like, hey, we're free now. Let's go on a big badass adventure into this crazy Vex time prison.
Yeah. See what happens. I think we can all agree as that Vault of Glass is still the best raid in Destiny 1.
It's
easily the most entertaining.
Yeah, you can like, four man it. It's just
Atheon, right?
That's Atheon. Yep.
Yeah. Like Oryx was fun. Crota was a buggy mess, and Wrath of the Machine was Wrath of the Machine. It was really, really good up until the last boss, who is fucking technical as hell. Like,
yeah,
if you fuck up a damage phase, you wipe the party.
Yeah,
like it's that bad. And there's
Vault of Glass just has this like it just has this like mysteriousness to it. Oh, we can go this way. Oh, we can go this way. Whereas a lot of the other, like Crota is like about as straightforward as you can get until you get to the bridge and you're like, what are we supposed to do again? Like,
that bridge has killed more fucking fire teams than Crota himself. And Crota's a buggy motherfucker. He still is.
Crota is, and you know the funny thing is like, well, we talked about this. Is like, Crota's the one that people solo. Like that's how a lot of people get their their flawless raider. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, because I still don't know how to get over that bridge. You're like, okay, I guess you don't. I don't know how to do it. The funny thing about that bridge is like, people were like, okay, you'd have people go hide, and like people were like, okay, you need to kill yourself, and then like we'll bring you over later. It's like we had to like find one people to. You want to find ways to break the game in order to pass the raid. Like,
oh yeah, I remember one of the techniques for a while was any guardian with a high jump, so like titans and warlocks, would take this really convoluted path up a wall so they can jump up above the map and die above the map.
Mm-hmm.
Which means when you respawned, you would just respawn on like the only living guardian that was still out there. You wouldn't respawn where you were, or you wouldn't respawn at the beginning. Then you'd have a hunter build the bridge, a hunter and two sacrificial pawns build the bridge, who then run off and kill themselves while the hunter crossed the bridge, dealt with all the enemies, and everybody would respawn on the hunter.
Yeah.
That's how that went.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what else? You could still never find an LFG anyone who could run sword. Oh, I run sword. Okay. I do this all the time. Okay, buddy.
You LFG. And every other cheeky motherfucker out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Destiny LFG during Crota. Must have max galley. Must be able to run sword.
To be fair to the people who ran sword on that, running sword on Crota was a hot mess because,
It was.
As we said, Crota is a buggy, buggy boss.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's times when you down him. Like, essentially, the way it would work is you'd have the minion phase. So you'd kill all the minions until a sword dude ran out. You'd kill the sword dude. Somebody would pick up the sword, and then Crota become vulnerable. And he only takes damage from the sword. Well, he only takes serious damage from the sword, but in order to sword him effectively, you need to knock him to one, knock him down to a knee, which that's what the Galahorn would come into, because tracking mini rockets, so you essentially hammer on him with rockets until he fell, took a knee. Then somebody would run up with a sword and start hitting on him. The pattern was like two lights and a heavy. That would give you three hits, and then you could bug out for him to stand up so people could hit him again, so you could get a second damage phase before you couldn't damage him anymore, and the whole cycle restarted. Occasionally, he would just get right back up. He just wouldn't care. He'd be like, oh, knee, and I'm back, and you're dead. And as soon as anybody died, or if you... Yeah, it was, if anybody died, he'd summon this giant orb that would try to wipe the party. And if you all shot the orb, you could destroy it and stop it from wiping. But
maybe.
Like, maybe. It got easier lucky. As time got... Well, as time went on, it became easier. But for the most part, it was just as buggy. Like, there'd be times when you'd be hammering on it with all, like, your high-powered rifles and everything like that, and nothing would happen. Just wipe.
Yep.
There's nothing you could do.
Yep.
But...
That was, Crota. Jeez.
And that's also kind of when everybody learned what Bungie's priorities in terms of fixing things were.
Yep. Yeah, which brings me to what I want, our next little thing I want to mention here. So this is so after Crota, went to House of Wolves. So this is right once I kind of started playing Destiny. House of Wolves brought us Prison of Elders, which I loved and actually still is like probably my favorite game mode. This is right when you started playing too, because you started playing right.
Yeah.
Once I had been playing it for like a month, and I was like, Ez, you need to check out this game. Like,
yeah. And I basically was over at Matt's, and I was like, he would go to sleep, and I would pick up sticks and just start, entering through Destiny. Yeah, it was hilarious. I would stay up to like 4 a.m. I'd be like, okay, this game's sick. I need to get involved. So yeah, that's what I can.
Yeah. So and that was Thomas going off of what you said. We're figuring out what Bungie's priorities were in terms of fixing things. That's what I like to refer to as the summer of the hand cannon.
Oh, God.
when hand cannons ruled supreme. It was like, if you did not have a hand cannon primary, you were pretty much a joke. Maybe Mida, maybe Red Death. But
and
you
if
had
you were a PlayStation 4 player, if you Hawk had Moon. A Hawk Moon, you were a monster.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I wanted Hawk Moon, and I was grinding for it all summer. I had Thorn at least. So I had Thorn and I was rocking it, and God, you would like two shot people, sometimes like one shot people if you got really lucky and they had like a little bit of damage to them. And I was getting like 37 kills a game. And then, and like, keep in mind, so like everyone was talking about how broken it was. I mean, constantly you'd go on the Destiny Reddit or any like Planet Destiny or any of these things, and there would always be a thread about a Thorn and Crucible side, talking about how broken Crucible was. And Bungie even said, remember, when they were talking about how they were going to rebalance the weapons, they put that out in like June, and they're like, we're not going to rebalance those weapons until Taken King, which is in September.
Yep.
What?
I mean, that was back when Hawkmoon could one shot somebody across the entire map, across entire any map, even some of the big maps, because Destiny 1 had both like the small 6-on-6 maps and then the big 6-on-6 maps with vehicles that nobody liked because vehicles weren't fun.
And Last Word was like utterly ridiculous too. There was that thing where like just something to do with the timing of how you'd pull the gun out. You could like pull out, like as you were pulling the gun out, you could like get a shot off. Like it was like jacked up. It was like, so ridiculous. But that
since
was
you could full auto that gun. If you got one shot off, you got all six off.
Yeah, it was so insane. It's still my favorite gun.
Didn't somebody, one of our friends, get Hawkmoon like way before you, Matt? Like you were trying to get Hawkmoon. Yeah, like you had tried.
Was it? Was it somebody Thomas?
Got it. I think somebody, he was using Red Death.
Not this Thomas. Like,
it was. Our buddy
it
Tom.
Was Tom. Yeah, our buddy
and
Tom
he
got
it. He was like, I'm good. He's like,
Oh, what a fucking monster.
Like, oh, right in front of Matt.
So pissed. Because he had it twice. He, like, got it and then got it again. He's like, ah, whatever. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It's okay. So when I almost did something terrible. So when I was first playing, I didn't really know. I was like, okay, what exotics? I didn't really understand like all this stuff. And so the first exotic I got was I went and did my Prison of Elders. And if you did the Prison of Elders thing, the first time you do it, you get an exotic out of the chest, right? The Queen's chest. And I got this sniper rifle and I was like, this thing sucks. So I almost discarded. I almost broke down Icebreaker. Like, so I was like, God, this gun's so slow. This gun sucks. And so I was like, well, I was right at the end of like dismantling. I was like, ah, I'll keep it. I guess I'll ask somebody if it's worth it. And everyone was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because Icebreaker was like, it was just like Gjallarhorn. It was like just as difficult to get. And so. Yeah. Yeah, and so I got it, and then I got it. I remember I got it again, and our buddy Red from England, who we play with online sometimes, he wanted Icebreaker so bad because he played a lot on the Xbox version, then bought a PS4 and started playing on there. And he was like, "Man, I had Icebreaker on Xbox." He's like, "But I can't get it on PlayStation." And I got it again. Oh, I remember sending him a message of my second of two Icebreakers in my like weapon. Yeah, and he was like savage. I was like, yeah.
I never got an Icebreaker in my oh, entire really? Time in Destiny 1. Never got one.
Yeah, me
wow. Wow.
I mean, I got a Hawkmoon in like the beginning of year 2 because they gave everybody an engram for year 2. They're like, "Hey,
that's what I got.
Here's your exotic weapon." Yep.
That's what I got. It was I loaded up Destiny 2 and I got the legacy engram and I got Hawkmoon right at the gate. Oh,
yeah, I was like, oh, fucking yeah, Hawkmoon. And then I read the patch notes. Oh, it got nerfed into the fucking ground. Right.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, I know. God is. I know. But okay.
Head in hands, yeah. Depression yeah. sets in. You're just like, oh.
So, okay. So before we start talking Taken King, Thomas actually, and I want to. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just remembered there's a lot of your one that I kind of glossed over that's kind of important to mention.
Okay, I was gonna talk about one of our one of my favorite gaming moments ever.
Well, I figure you'll just edit this together and drop this section right when I was talking, so it didn't look like it made a mistake.
Yeah, <we're>...
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't like those laughs of "Yeah, we're not gonna edit this shit."
Yeah, we're not.
Gonna I don't edit. I don't edit. This is we one cut it here. You know.
Don't even start that shit with me.
No, we'll
see. Go ahead.
Better start editing shit. We're going big time with Podbean now. We better be editing.
Yeah, it's true. We gotta step our game up. So that's right. You're one. But, Destiny.
It completely dawned on me. Like, oh yeah, I forgot that getting gear in Destiny 1 was the hardest bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting so, exotics.
There was not even just exotics, like legendary engrams. Legendaries were hard to come by, mm-hmm. and to be fair, a lot of legendaries weren't that. Good. Essentially, the way it worked is this is like before light levels, so you just had pure gear stats. There was no like, hey, I'm light, you know, 250 whatever, I can now take on, you know, this and this. It was more of like, hey, this gun does like 2 more damage, that works for me. But coming across that gear was really, really hard. So like, you had something that essentially you had people looking for ways of kind of minimizing the grind, or at least streamlining it, and thus the loot cave was born.
The loot caves.
Yeah, this is something important. So
yeah,
the big one was on in the Cosmodrome on Earth. There was a cave in Sky something. Essentially, what you'd have is you'd have everybody in that instance sitting in front of this cave waiting for these hive enemies to spawn, because they spawned in groups of like 3 and 4. And they'd run out of the cave into just a hail of gunfire. Just everybody would sit there shooting for hours, just to get anything. And back then, a legendary didn't guarantee a legendary item. You had a range. So a green engram would get you a green or a blue. A blue would get you a green item a blue item or potentially a purple item, a legendary item. Purple engrams could get you a green, a blue, a legendary, or an exotic. Which means if you got a purple engram, even if you got a legendary engram, the second to last tier of gear you could get, you may get the worst tier of gear outside of the whites that stop dropping at level 10.
Yeah. Oh, and remember,
this is the reason why people hate Master Raoul. This is why people hate the Cryptarch, is because you go to him and you're like, I got a legendary engram. I'm going to get some gear for my character. I'm going to become more powerful for once. Oh, you gave me a motherfucking green, motherfucker, I will murder your entire family.
Not only that, but just the comments he has are like, oh, that's not very good. It's like, yeah, I know, bro.
No doubt.
No shit. Where's the gear I was promised? I got a purple, damn it. Where's my purple?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you get...
never survived your one, thank God. But yeah,
Lord. Something else I was just thinking about in terms of do you guys remember we used to have to go back to the tower to turn in bounties?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing at first. Although I kind of missed. So the original bounty system that they had in beta was a lot more it was the same beta system as what came out in Destiny 1.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same bounty system rather, but the bounties were more interesting in beta. Like, there was like, hey, kill a bunch of enemies with arc damage, or hey, roadkill a bunch of enemies with your sparrow, or hey, do this so many times, and whereas once Destiny rolled out, it was kill this many enemies.
Yep.
Loot this many chests.
Yeah. So I saw one of those things in Destiny 2. It was like, take an enemy's pike and kill 20 enemies. One of the challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe they'll be coming back. We'll see.
Yeah, there's definitely a few fun ones in Destiny 2, but it was just like coming out of beta, because I played the beta for Destiny 1, and the beta was really, really good for that game. Like, you had access all the way up to like halfway through the moon, or not halfway. No, actually, it was like just the start of the moon, the first mission of the moon. But you had the entire Cosmodrome and the moon open to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Crucible was, everybody was like level 10. You couldn't go past level 10, but you had all the abilities unlocked to them, and you had all these like blue guns that were pretty much the same. It was the most balanced Crucible had ever been and ever would have been in that game. Crucible was never the same after beta, but it was really good. It was a lot of fun. Like, there was never a moment where I was just like, this is bullshit. That game should not, that gun should not be allowed in Crucible. There was no moment of just like, what the fuck is going on? Why is that hunter not dead? He should be dead like 12 times over.
Yeah.
Fuck, super armor.
Or, God, this is super cheap. God, hammers are super. God, Blade Dancer is the most cheap thing.
Oh, God. Crucible, let's be honest, was a mess.
Destiny 1's Crucible, it was an absolute mess. Destiny 2 so far seems to be better. Is the word.
I mean, we'll have our definitive review for that.
Yeah, we'll have our
time. I mean, we definitely have there are things to say about Destiny 2, both good and bad. But that's
we'll stick on Destiny 1. But so here's a question for you guys. So before we got to Taken King, getting exotics was like either extremely lucky or you had to like grind raids and stuff like that. But do you think that before we got Three of Coins, when you got an exotic, it felt like more like worth it?
No.
Hmm.
So that game awarded exotics so randomly that it wasn't ever, it didn't feel like, oh, I worked hard for this. It was more like, oh, I showed up late to a Crucible match. I only got one kill, and you gave me a Suros regime. Thanks, Bungie.
Or Galahorn, dude.
Galahorn.
Do you remember when, like, on YouTube, like, you could watch like Galahorn like videos of people streamers who got Galahorn and were like losing their minds, like,
yep.
Like, I will Galahorn's say that, like,
great, but I don't know if insanity is worth, like, it's insanity great.
I will say that, like, one of the guns I really wanted was the Last Word, because I had Thorn and I was like, man, that gun just seems really cool. It's like an old West pistol or whatever. And I was like, it was fun when I'd go into raids on LFG and people would be like, oh, here's what I hope I get this. And I was like, man, I really hope I get the Last Word. And then, like, it was like a Friday. I remember it was a Friday morning. I like woke up and I was like, oh, whatever. So I pop in Destiny. I jump into one match of Crucible and I like came in at the end of the game and I just got the Last Word. And I was like, okay.
It never felt like you earned any of them, because it was just the way Destiny 1 handed out gear was so haphazard and random. It's like, oh, I didn't get better gear for doing good in Crucible.
Yep.
You gave me literally a coin.
Yep.
You gave me a trials coin, and that's it. And everybody else got like legendary shit. And you're just like, okay.
Wait, when did they have those? What was it like a quest to go? When did that start to get the exotics?
So that was Destiny. That was Destiny 1.
That was from the base game.
Yeah, because I think that's the only time I felt kind of like, okay, this is cool. I'm gonna go do a series of things.
But at that point, you were working for it. You were working towards that goal, and when you hit it,
Thomas, what was your first exotic?
Suros Regime, and I got that out of Crucible when I was playing with a full fire team, and oh my god, that was the first exotic that dropped for anybody in that fire team, and everybody was pissed.
Your first one was Mida, wasn't it?
I don't actually remember, man. The first one I cared about was Mida. I think I don't even know. Was Hard Light around back in the day?
I got
a crap ton of hard lights, man. Before
When Hard Light when Hard Light was literally the worst gun in the game.
I was getting like.
Because not only were auto rifles terrible, but Hard Light specifically was terrible.
That was so garbage.
To be fair to Hard Light, when Destiny first launched, balancing was way different from when you guys came in. Yes, auto rifles were actually like.
Okay.
So wasn't Suros like king?
Suros was the best auto rifle, but Hard Light was definitely usable. I mean, to be fair, this was back when fusion rifles just were a monster. Shotguns could shoot fucking miles, and hand cannons didn't care about range. You could probably shoot somebody in orbit with one. it was a whole different game. But Suros Regime was a boss fucking gun, and Hardlight wasn't much worse. Well, and you could get that out of the raid out of one chest that had a high drop rate. Plan C.
Well,
it was either Hardlight or Plan C.
Yeah, Plan C was good too. I just remember, like, anytime we would be playing, like, Trials or something, we would pull out Hard Light as a joke.
Yeah, we would. Yeah.
It's Hard Light.
Yeah.
No Land Beyond came out. Then that became the joke.
That's right.
Yeah. But,
and then so we almost won that serious game.
We did.
No Lands.
Yeah, you, Ballisto, Nick, and I, Thomas. Yeah, we were all using No Lands. And I think Thomas's was a year one No Land Beyond.
Yeah, it was. I was rocking a year one in fucking Trials.
We pushed it to game five. It was hilarious. Actually, that footage is up. It's one of our videos. I use it on our YouTube. God, yeah,
we were using one of the most obnoxious shaders at the time, Chrysanthemum.
We were rocking
No Land Beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, like, which will take us to year two. But before we hit year two, I want to talk about one thing real quick. So one of my favorite video game memories or like moments ever was Thomas and I had grinded everything and we're like, okay, we've gotta beat Skolas so we can get our year one emblem.
So a little bit of backstory. At the end of year one, they started doing this event where it was like, hey, if you complete all these moments of triumph, essentially, if you do all these like kind of milestones, you'll get an emblem in year two. And then I think they also gave you like a shader.
Yep.
And a couple other things. So it was like, all right, we'll go ahead and get this done. And we had been kind of, we got all everything but Skolas done. Because it was like, beat the three raid bosses. Loot all the golden chests, do something else.
Do something Crucible or complete Iron Banner, all that stuff.
Yeah. But we hadn't done Skolas yet, and we were just kind of like dragging our heels until like the final day.
Yep.
And
I guess it's like the eve of Destiny 2. We're like, we gotta do this.
It's like the last day we could get this.
It was literally the last 24 hours. And to be honest, I'm pretty sure we finished at like 3 a.m. and Destiny 2 like launched, or Destiny Year 2 launched at 5 a.m.
Like, I'd believe it. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
It felt that close at the very least.
Yeah. But I will say we did have one. We had it the week before they rolled out the new weapons patch.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that we were actually using one of, I think I might have been, or you might have been too, using hard light. Like, because
no,
the hard light.
I wasn't used. I didn't have hard light at that time. But I think you did. Yeah, I think you were rocking hard light.
Hard light, yeah, because that's something that changed. They changed in year two. They changed the way it looked when it fired. So it's more like firing energy streams as opposed to like little sprinkles. And
when the fucking laser light show began.
God, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so go ahead with our death. Yeah.
But yeah, so we LFG'd some guy. We're just like, hey, we need to get this shit done. And he's like, yeah, so do I. Let's do this. We hopped into Skolas and we were just like, all right, somebody look this up so we don't fuck it up.
Yep. We blasted all the way to the end. Like, okay, we got to Skolas. I'm like, all right, we've got to do this. Like, yep. I think it only took us like two or three tries actually, but yeah, it was hella close.
Like, oh yeah, we were getting frustrated. We were all just like, this is gonna be our last one. This is gonna be our last one, and we said that like two or three times.
Yeah. And it was hectic because you know, you have to run around and you got to carry the orb. And like, there were definitely Thomas is a warlock. And I think that guy was a hunter.
Yeah, I think it was two hunters and a warlock at that
point. I think it was two hunters.
You were a
hunter
and he was a hunter.
Yeah, two hunters and warlock. And there was definitely one moment I distinctly remember. We're on like the back little edge. And like the other guy died. I had the orb. And like, I was like, okay, we have like 3 seconds. It's like counting down. It's like, oh God, 3, 2. And like Thomas was dead. And he was like, he's like dying. It's like, boom, self-res. Like literally like a split second. Like just boom, self-res. It's like, thank God.
That was back in the time when a warlock could save anything. Because yeah. self-res would cancel the countdown. So like whenever you died in a no respawn zone, whenever you wiped, it would count down from like 3 to 1 or 3 to 0, and then it would restart you at the most recent checkpoint. Unless you were at nightfall at the time when it would kick you to orbit, which changed in year 3.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. But so what would end up happening is that like a warlock would hold on to their self-res in case the party wiped on like a raid boss or a really difficult area. And then when that timer was counting down, if you self-resed, you would cancel the timer because you'd be alive and you could run around and you had none of like the negative status effects until they were reapplied. This worked on Crota, where whenever he would use his like Oversoul, that's what it was called, Oversoul, to wipe the party. When everybody was dead, it would start counting down and you could just revive and then revive your entire party and you'd still be rocking Crota. And that definitely saved a couple games of Crota. Like just reviving at the last second when Crota was weak and just like, oh, we're taking this fucker down.
And back when the other thing on LFG to play trials was must be max warlock.
Yeah. Oh God. If you saw a warlock in trials, you're just like, yep, he's a sunslinger. Yep. That fucker's gonna revive and round three is gonna happen.
Yep. He's got self-res.
But yeah, I remember that because it was like we were right there. We were pretty much really close to beating Skolas on that one. And I don't remember if that was the one we beat Skolas on or not, but it was just like everything was going wrong and popped it at like the last possible second. Somehow managed to save. Yeah. I don't remember if you died on that one and it was just you running around for a little bit.
I think I did. It was,
and
I remember at the very end when he was like so close to being dead, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, oh God, like, if we keep going and Thomas, because I remember distinctly Thomas is like, no. And Thomas just like charges him and it's like unloads everything. It was kind of like, it's like, we're just going all out. We have to. And like,
this is like,
yeah. Cause I think you had like a rocket. I think it was, I think it was one of those things where it's like you had a rocket launcher, you like jumped at him, like fire the rocket, you die in the air. Like it was pretty sweet. I know I have it saved, and it's I'm sure it's in one of the videos I posted on YouTube. But it was just so it was so funny. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that was year one. Year one of Destiny was a lot of fun. It was kind of a hot mess. So now we get to year two, where things improved quite a bit. We no longer had to go back to the tower for bounties.
That was an improvement, guys. Honestly,
we got three of coins.
That first week was glorious.
Mm-hmm. We got to go to the Dreadnought, which actually was a pretty cool area, and it was kind of unique.
That was fun.
Dreadnought, and then we also got the Taken, a new air quote new enemy type.
But it was essentially a remix of most of the major enemies that had been prior, and it was a neat idea.
Yep,
and I do like some of the enemies, and I fucking loathe some of the enemies they created.
Yeah.
Taken Scions forever my hatred. Like, they are my first target. Or they were my first target. Well, no, I guess they still are in Destiny 2. Like, I'll charge those fuckers down at first opportunity I get.
And probably the biggest change in year 2 was the addition of a third subclass.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we only had two subclasses.
Wow. And
before Destiny. Yeah, before Destiny year two, we everybody only had two subclasses.
That's just crazy.
There was no Palpatine, you know, warlocks. There were no bow hunters and hammers didn't even exist.
Nope.
Yeah, can we go back to those days?
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, the dark side of the force is here to stay, whether you like it or not.
Because I love it.
So what did you guys think of when you first got your new subclass? You got the Palpatine subclass, as we like to call it.
Well, I thought it was really neat, just like the little journey you had to go on, and then freaking, you know, calling lightning down. So
I think my favorite part about that whole thing was the little subclass quest, because it wasn't like you just in Destiny in the first year when you got your second cut, when you hit like I don't forget what it was. It was,
I think it was either, like, 10 or 15
it was just like, hey, you've unlocked another subclass to work on, so your gunslinger can now become a blade dancer, or your bubble titan is now a or your shock titan is now a bubble titan.
Yep.
But with the third subclass you had to go on this little like quest, and it was kind of neat. They weren't really like involved, but it was fun to do.
Yeah,
it was fun to do. The Hunter one was really cool. Just, you know, Cade 6, you know, he's great. You know, probably the best of the Vanguard. But he's like, you know, Titans have their walls, Warlocks have their books, but, you know, we got the Void. It's like, it's sweet.
Jesus.
But, you know, so the addition of the third subclass is cool, and it changes the game. That, and I think Swords, I think, really kind of changed the way you could play the game.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of Cade, something else changed in year two. And that was a lot of the voice acting.
Yes, that's true.
So, in year one, Cade most notably, I should say, had a really kind of serious tone to him. He was just like every other quest giver. It's like, things are bad. We need to go fight for good. And he didn't really have much of a personality, and same goes for a couple other characters.
Which is so funny, because now he's like the face of the franchise.
Yeah, now he's like, he is, in some people's words, essentially budget Deadpool, which I don't know if I exactly agree with. But
no, I can see that.
Yeah, I can see where they're coming from. I just don't exactly agree with it. But yeah, they gave him a lot more personality and a lot of his dialogue. He played a bigger part in the storyline. A lot of the other characters got a lot of interesting dialogue and kind of personalities added to them. So it was definitely like an overall change for that whole storyline, or for like the whole storytelling aspect of the game as well.
Yeah, Destiny 2, the story improved a lot. It still wasn't perfect, but it was, at least you were able to follow along. Excuse me, and there were, and there were actually like cutscenes, you know, like actually more of them made sense, and a lot of cool strikes. I like the Shield Brothers. I think was pretty cool, you know, and we got like Because everyone had been complaining, like, hey, when are we going to get a Cabal expansion? And while...
We got a Cabal game, so...
We have a Cabal game now, yeah, but while...
We could put that one to rest.
Yeah. But, you know, like, the Taken King, at least the Cabal were kind of more of a main focus, because, like, hey, they were the ones that crashed into the Dreadnought, and... So, I mean, like, not it wasn't a Cabal expansion.
They weren't a main focus. They were definitely a player, but I would not say they're a main focus.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, I guess really the other thing I want to talk about in year two is the addition of Sparrow League Racing, and then kind of some of the events we got. Like the Halloween event and things like that.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible at racing. God.
I loved racing.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
It was fun, but, yeah, it was garbage.
Well, it was just – it was so funny because I remember so often you'd be playing with people in LFG in year one, and you'd be, you know, doing patrols or whatever, and you're, you know, you're riding around with your Sparrows, and they're like, man, wouldn't it be fun to race these things? And it was like everyone was kind of like, yeah, it would be. Like,
well, I mean, there were, like – There are player-run leagues already for it. There was a racing league, and there was a stunt league.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people like there were literally. I remember somebody one group mocked up a poster for a stunt event on Mars, where it was like, "Hey, you know, come to like party up with all these people, and we're gonna host a stunt event. You just film your best Sparrow stunts on in these areas on Mars, and you know we'll." Kind of, they had like prizes, I think, and Yeah, they had like their competition online. They posted their videos online, so there was definitely like
that's awesome.
There was definitely precedence for it, and then they released Sparrow League Racing, and it was like, okay, I can get behind this 100%.
Yeah. So part of the thing with Sparrow Racing was that, you know, when Taken King came out, everyone's like, okay, when's the next expansion? And rather than expansions, we got microtransactions with silver and some, I guess, quote, free events rather than full expansions.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how I feel about it, but it was okay, I guess.
Oh, man. Oh. Sorry, okay, that was a text message coming through on my phone.
That's okay. Go ahead. What do you think of instead of getting expansions, we got free events. Like we got the Halloween event and Sparrow Racing and like the weird March update.
I thought it was pretty cool. Like I liked the I loved going to the tower and seeing it all, you know, decked out and stuff, and then you know, you just get to like wear the what was that Jackalite like
You were wearing the Jackalite we got at Halloween. Yeah. Although there was Thomas, there wasn't there a Jackalite event in year one Destiny?
There was. So, I mean, that, though, was a lot less involved. Like, so, the year two events, they you know, changed up the entire tower, so the tower would be decorated with, like, Halloween stuff and light lanterns and stuff like that. All the characters would be wearing masks, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The Christmas event that would come later was also just, like, snow everywhere and big old, like, shiny stuff everywhere and whatever. Yeah. But year one, it wasn't nearly as involved.
Yeah.
Like, there was definitely a little bit of an event. You could collect things, but for the most part, it wasn't super big.
Yeah. I remember one of my favorite parts was getting raisins, right? Didn't we all get raisins?
Yeah, we got raisins. And there were so many people who were posting, like, on Reddit and stuff, like, oh, I'm holding on to my raisin.
Yeah. Like, hell yeah, I did.
Yeah, we did for a long time. Like, I know. Something's coming. Something's going to happen.
Something's coming. And then they did. Something did come of it in year three. Or yeah, we got at the next Halloween event.
We got to ascend our raisins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. So one other
and
event.
And we got a fucking celery stick, that bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone was joking that we're just leading to ants on a log, and so that like the joke is that this year we'll get peanut butter. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yep. My god!
It was kind of leading up into that. Like,
I know
raisins, celery. Of course, you know, peanut butter had to be next.
Yeah, Could still be. We don't, you know, maybe we'll get in Destiny 2. Yeah. We'll see. But so one of the other events that we got in year two, but we did not get in year three, was the Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Crimson Candy.
Event. Yeah, man. We got the Crimson Candy, got the Chocolate Ghost.
Doubles
was a sweet game mode, and I don't know why they didn't bring it back in year three.
I'm not going to lie. I think when, like either Matt, myself, or Matt and Thomas, or, you know, we could wreck some folks in doubles.
That doubles. Doubles is a lot of fun. You know, it's just the idea of, like, when your buddy gets killed, like, oh, then you, like, go crazy, and, you know, you become a lot stronger.
Yeah, you got a damage boost, and I don't think you got an armor boost, but,
yeah,
it also worked like elimination, so if you could stay alive long enough, you could revive your partner.
Yep.
So.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It was a really good game mode that, it's kind of a mystery as to why it didn't come back.
When you did the Crimson Candy, there was a Crimson Candy connection or something that you shared. So, like, we'd be doing trials at some point, and somebody would just, like, have one of those and just, like, light it off. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. 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 Hey, getting that connection. Right. Yeah.
Did nothing as far as I know, but it was great.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably just go ahead and talk about year three now. Cause year two was kind of, it was taking King heavy and then at the beginning of the year and then kind of filtered out really until Rise of Iron came out.
Well, I mean, there was a couple major balancing changes in year two, just overall.
Yeah.
Like they were definitely trying to figure out how to make Crucible less Crucible, but never really succeeded in the end.
Yeah. But I think let's just go ahead and jump into Rise of Iron. Rise of Iron, the last expansion of Destiny 1, which was only $30. Mm-hmm. And was like four story missions.
Yeah. It was like five.
Yeah, that one extra mission is a real big, you know, deal.
Hey, man. It was.
I mean, you got Lord Saladin. I mean, yeah. that was sick.
It was a quality of life expansion. I will say it really improved the quality of life in Destiny. We got, was that when we got private matches?
That's when we got private matches. Mm-hmm. They changed a lot of how, like, gear, you earn gear. So, like, in Destiny 1, I mentioned it was really, really difficult to get gear. Like, shit just would not drop. Legendaries could be the worst type of gear or the best type of gear. It's just completely random. Mm-hmm. They changed that a little bit in year 2. So, like, when you got a legendary drop, it was going to be a legendary or better. But you'd still have to rely on the luck of the draw to actually get a legendary item.
Okay.
It was never guaranteed. And then Rise of Iron came out, and they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Whenever you turn stuff into people, you're going to get your gear, your light level or better in gear.
Mm-hmm.
Up to a certain point on blues and up to a certain point on purples, depending on how you got them. So, like, if you turned in stuff to Saladin and you know, earned engrams that way, you'd get up to, like, I think it was like, oh, what was it? It was like 380 or something like that.
It was
380 after the raid came out, Wrath of the Machine. And then if you earned it from Wrath of the Machine or the Nightfall, you could potentially get up to, was it 390 or 400?
I think it was, maybe it was 390. I think 400 is where it ended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it was so much easier at that point to earn gear that was better for your character, because it's just like, oh, I can do the things I already want to do and not have to worry about, like, getting something that's 20 light levels below what I already have.
And I will say, like, the area we got, like, you know, being able to go to, like, the mountain, you know, that was really cool. And then the redone Cosmodrome was really cool. You get to go into, like, the different version of it. And both the Archon's Forge and in year two, we didn't really talk about it, the Court of Oryx, I thought were really cool. Like, oh, hey, let's put these in the patrols to kind of make patrols a little bit more fun and exciting.
Yeah, give you something to do outside of running patrols endlessly. Like, the patrol missions themselves kind of got dull after the first 20 times.
Yeah. And there was, and the whole idea was that you were supposed to see a lot of people out in those worlds, and you would not.
Hey, actually, side note here, because Thomas has talked a lot about, like, you know, in the beginning days of, you know, the year one Destiny. Yeah. Do you guys remember farming?
Right? Oh, yeah.
Farming
For relic iron and spin metal. Oh, my God. I just thought of that. I'm like, that was my favorite part. I used to farm for Matt. Back when I didn't even have a thing, I would just be like, dude, can I just go, like, find all these, you know, things? I figured out where they all would spawn, where they would come back to. Those are good times.
That's what I would do in between loot cave runs, is just, like, start doing loops around that area.
Yeah.
Grabbing all the chests, grabbing all the spin metal.
Yeah, I don't know why that was so satisfying, but what, you couldn't get relic iron and spin metal and stuff like back at the tower, right? I mean, you couldn't.
Nope. Yeah, you'd have to go get it, and that's what you'd need it to upgrade your gear. Right. So you'd have to go get it. Yep.
You had to have it. Yeah. Oh man. Yep. Those were the days.
Yep. Yeah. You had to have it. I guess I'm trying to think of what else. I have an outline here, but we're mostly covered most of it. Let's just quickly talk about. Let's talk about the factions.
I knew that was coming.
Mm. The factions. So there's the three I consider them the more they're, you know, the three main factions. You know, you've got Dead Orbit and New Monarchy, which no one cares about, and Future War Cult.
Yeah. FWC in the house. No, but
yes.
So they were like the crucible factions. Like, these are the people that you would go out and you'd get. I think originally you had to, like, wear a piece of their gear and a shader in order to get anything from them.
Yep, year one, you'd have to wear their gear to get rep for them.
But then later on, it was just like, hey, every week you can pick, you know, like, every week you can switch between the three. You'd get a special mark, and you'll just get reputation for them, and you'll get, like, a bonus if you wear a shader or a...
Yep.
Piece of or a class armor for them, which was
you'd have to pledge allegiance to them.
Yeah,
so I mean, you'd pledge allegiance to Future War Cult or Dead Orbit. I mean, I don't know why anyone would pledge allegiance to New Monarchy.
Simple, because they wanted to finish out their exotics.
I did, but yeah.
So just for that. I mean, it originally, like, factions would give you literally action gear, and it would be better than, like, your crucible gear or whatever, and it was just another way of getting legendaries. It was kind of a real slog, because you only earn so many points from each crucible match, and by the end of it you had to get like 2500 points to level up every level.
Yep.
And crucible would only give you like 50 points per match at best. Which it changed. Like, eventually you could start giving them stuff to level up, so you could, like, give them motes of light or give them various materials or
motes of light.
Yeah,
they're not even in Destiny 2.
Yeah,
nope.
I just realized that. I was like, oh yeah, motes of light. Where have they gone?
Destiny 2 got rid of a lot of currencies, and I think it's better for it. But once again, that's for another time.
That is. Man, I miss Motes of Light. Okay, well.
But Motes of Light were cool, because you could use them to level up your gear, because you actually had to do that. You had to, like, whenever you got a piece of equipment, if you wanted to use any of its alternate scopes or any of its alternate perks, you actually had to use it and level it up, or just burn a bunch of Motes of Light to unlock it, because that would give any your gear experience.
And in year one, you could use Motes of Light to re-roll your guns.
That was a limited thing in, like, the end of year one, and it only applied to the end of year one guns.
Well, okay, so that was House of Wolves, which is what
that was House of Wolves, and, like, specifically House of Wolves. It was really weird.
Okay, yeah.
I will say one thing. In year one, when you leveled up your gear, you wouldn't be able, like, it would start out at the weakest amount of damage you could do, but you had to level it up in order to make it do the maximum amount of damage.
Oh yeah, and what'd you have to, was it something? Oh god, what's that called?
Ascended shards
or ascended energy? No, the light. It was like the orange ball of light you'd have to get, and you could only get it from
ascended energy. Yes,
wasn't it etheric light?
Etheric light. That's what it
is. Etheric light. That's right. Ascended energy and ascended shards were year two.
Yeah.
This is
before, no, you're right. Ascended energy and ascended shards were you're right. The ascended energy and ascended shards were what you used before. They were in the game before Etheric Light. That's what you had to use before. Yep. Yeah.
Because they did. Oh god, upgrading weapons was such a mess. Like until it became, they were like in year three. Were like or year two. Where they're like, fuck all of this nonsense.
Yep.
Year one, you had ascended shards and ascendant energy, which you needed to upgrade your weapons and armor to their best value of armor and damage.
That was for everything before
Crota.
Yeah, before Crota.
After Crota, it was Etheric Light and Etheric Energy, which you would then use to do the same, only with Crota shit. And then they kind of realized that, hey, this is getting really dumb. We have no backup plan for when we get like six expansions deep into this nonsense. Yep. So screw all of this. Your weapons don't need to be upgraded for damage anymore. You just need to upgrade it to be able to use stuff, which was the smartest move they ever made.
And then we just went to Infusion, which was a much better idea. But...
Oh, God. Infusion was brilliant. Essentially taking... Like, if you had a weapon that you liked to use, but you got a legendary that had better stats, you could infuse that legendary into the one you like to use to raise it to that level. Originally... No. Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it first came out, though, it would average the two.
Yeah.
So, that was so frustrating.
I know, because I'd be like, man, I just got this like 270 art. Well, I really like these like 212 boots I have. Okay, well, 236. What?
Yeah. And that nonsense got sorted out real quick because everyone's like, this is really dumb. And Bungie was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. This is really dumb.
The things Bungie listened to and like the things they didn't are just so bizarre.
Yeah. Like, so I know we were talking earlier about learning. We were talking earlier about learning about what Bungie's priority when it came to fixing stuff was. Essentially, what we meant by that was like during Crota, they would fix every little bit of cheese within like weeks of it being discovered. Like hunting down ways of getting around most of the issues of that raid, but they would never fix the raid itself.
If you find a way to exploit the game, oh, they're fixing that right out the gate. Yeah, loot caves, we're patching that out. But one shot it in Crucible, I'll be all right.
Fucking Crota not taking any damage because fucking Crota's broken. You'll get around it somehow. But jumping across the bridge in a way that doesn't use the bridge because the bridge is a really annoying fucking mechanic. Having that. Yeah. Nope. You're gonna slog through that nonsense.
Yep.
Like even now, even at the end of Destiny 1, Crota still does not work properly.
Hey, do you remember when we used to have to go to orbit? And then come and then rejoin a fire team in raids. I don't feel like wiping. Just rejoin. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So I mean, to be fair, some of this stuff like needed to be fixed, like that kind of thing. That was totally against what they were trying to accomplish. That's reasonable that it would get fixed, but then there were some issues that just never stopped occurring, and it was like people were finding ways to get around these issues, and it would break the game, and it would not be within like the way they wanted it to work, but it was like, we want to play this game. We want to play it the right way, but we can't because it simply does not work.
Yep. So
they would fix every workaround. So it's like, we want to play this game correct, but it's not worth playing correct. Please stop making it like either make it worth playing correctly or stop fixing our ways of getting around your bullshit.
Yeah.
And they never listened.
So I will say, though, like one of the things to give Bungie credit, I want to mention two guns specifically. No Time to Explain. And then in year three, the Kostov.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's like it's just so bizarre. It's this company. They're just so weird. Like, you know, they don't fix things, but then they will listen to the fans. And they, you know, they brought back the Kostov. Year three. Yeah. OK, go ahead. Have it.
Yeah. They like the exotic Kostov, which was really like a really cool idea. But when it first came out, it was kind of mediocre. Essentially, the whole point to that gun was it could become a pulse rifle, a scout rifle, or an auto rifle.
Yep.
And you could change how it specifically acts as those various archetypes. In theory, that's a really neat idea. In practice, it wasn't worth using.
Yeah. Did you keep an original Kostov from the very beginning of the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That shit was in my vault after I used it.
And there for a while, I think it was year two, once like the Kostov or once auto rifles became good, because it was like the only gun in its archetype, it was like really usable. Like, it was like regular Crucible when it would
there were videos of entire fire teams rolling in the Crucible with Kostovs, like year one starting Kostovs and wrecking face.
Oh yeah. It was so sweet. Because in Crucible everything scales, so it's just like
at least normal Crucible,
normal Crucible, an Iron Banner or anything like that. Okay. As we're kind of moving towards the end here, so I want to just open up to you guys. If you had to pick like a favorite memory of Destiny, what would you pick?
Wow, one memory?
Yeah. What's you had to pick your single one favorite Destiny memory?
Oh my gosh, dude. That's super hard. That's super hard because it's so many.
Okay, or maybe two or two
so
or
many
three.
Good moments.
Okay,
in that
let
game.
Me give you a couple good moments. One of my favorite moments was we were in the tower, and Matt was trying to show me how to get up in the tree. It's so simple, but so satisfying. And then I passed on what I had learned to another, and I showed someone else how to get in the tree. It's like that was the coolest. The social piece of like the tower that was like, oh, it's so cool.
Well, Thomas showed me how to glitch into the hangar. And, like, I showed Az, I was like, check this out, man. Thomas showed me to do this.
That's a cool piece. Like passing stuff on and learning from each other. It's just so cool.
I will say Destiny had some of the best social moments I've ever had in any like real MMO.
Yep.
Like the tower, all the social spaces, the tower, the reef, and the mountain.
Yep.
We're all a lot of fun to just mess around in. Like there were times when I would just kind of just fuck around in the tower for like hours. I wouldn't even play like the actual shooter. It was just like, I'm going to see what nonsense I can get up to in the tower today. Like, I'm going to climb into the rafters of the speakers like area, or I'm going to jump into the tree and see if I can't make it onto one of the pillars that sit kind of splitting that main section.
Or start like a dance party. Right there.
Or like playing, dude. I will say some of the best times I had. I was playing a long time with he's probably like 15 or something like that. Just some kid in London, and for some reason I got grouped up with a lot of people from England. I don't know why, but it was just really cool. It was like just kind of started Destiny, and we were like raiding together. I just got an LFG, and we were just playing whatever. We were waiting on some of his friends to go on to raid again. We were just in the tower chilling, and we just talked about like politics, like all the stuff, like how's America, how's England. It's just cool, a lot of that social stuff. We played soccer in the tower for like an hour. It was so much fun.
I think hands down, some of my favorite moments actually came from Crucible. Now, I have never really been a fan of Crucible outside of that glorious golden beta moment, mostly because Crucible has always been a hot mess of balance issues. Yeah. And it really stems from just the nature of Destiny. Essentially, all the guns have various archetypes and they all have their own stats, and you can change them around. You can edit those stats. You can give them different perks and abilities. And so the whole thing becomes just this weird, impossible to properly balance clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
But that first round of Rift, when they introduced it in
year
two
God.
Game mode, that first moment when you just like sprint into the goal and just dunk that energy ball into their Rift and cause a massive explosion and get like four kills, that was so beautiful. You're just like, I feel like a total boss.
Yeah. I will say some of the times we'd all play Crucible together, and we'd be playing Trials, and like we're up against teams that are gonna wreck. We'd play teams that had gone flawless before, because you'd see it from the emblem, and like I know like one or two times we actually pulled it off, but we would be down like 0-4. It's like fifth match. And we would just message them, comeback starts now.
Oh, the first time we actually pulled that shit off, and we were all just like laughing. We couldn't stop.
It was so hilarious. Cause you know they're like, oh, fuck these guys. Like,
oh, you know there was rage on the other end. You just it was like, just
are you
so
thinking, yeah. Are you fucking serious? Like, what the fuck, bro? This is fucking, you know, it's like, oh, you know, they're just like, you know, they're just like losing their minds. Oh, so bad.
Yeah, the best part was like, Matt used to imitate the other, like, you
know, whatever. All the time.
Oh my God, so good.
Seriously, just messaging people, comeback starts now.
Like, yeah, you do it every time. You'd always message me like, all right, I'm messaging him. Yep. Comeback starts now.
Yeah. So like the two or three times we actually pulled it off. Oh God, it was, you know, they had to be pissed. Just so great. Oh yeah. I mean, certainly Thomas R. Skolas, that was epic. That was ridiculous. Yeah. You know, when we did when we did Oryx and we were just all dicking around with like swords swinging up the side of the thing, like that was a lot of fun. Oh man,
the wall with all like the pillars that would slam you across the way.
That slam you around. Four manning Atheon. I think that was the first time. As I think it was me.
Oh yeah,
you Sarah. I think Thomas Huber in there too.
No, yeah, I was not. I did.
Oh,
not
you weren't in that.
Man it.
Nope. Okay, we four manned it, and that was the first time a bunch of people in the group had ever beaten it, and that was crazy.
That was crazy.
Oh dude. Keeping the hangar door open.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, like, dude, we were passing out. It wasn't in our fire team group.
Yeah.
And he figured out, he's like, we got to keep this hangar door open and we got to stay inside here. You could tell he was like dancing with us.
Playing six man like Clash and stuff, where you all just hide in like a little corner as a team. Like, oh, you know, those guys just get so upset.
Well, because then like the first guy would come in and like six of us just wrecking, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're done. After a while, like it'd be like four or five in a row, and it's like, oh, all of a sudden you can start to turn the tide. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
But I mean, like occasionally, like if you were playing against a bunch of randoms and you had that situation like where they would you knew they were not communicating whatsoever, right? Because like one would run in, get murdered. Another one would run in, get murdered. This first one would come in, run in, get murdered. Two would come in, get murdered. And they would split up and it would just be like, it'd keep happening.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
And then you get the groups that definitely were on comms because they would come in fucking like full force, no nonsense, all civic. Six of us are going to rush these fuckers.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, as recorded and reported.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
we would like that was said. We would beat like teams in like first round of trials, and they'd always be like, "Oh, recorded and report. Like, we're not cheating.
Like, we're not. Yeah,
dude, like if anything, guys, we're not that good. That means you're really not that good."
Yeah, dude. One of my favorite things, I think Thomas probably experienced this, is like when you're playing trials, right? And it's just like you're. Like your buddies have died, and you know you have self-res. And you know you can just self-res for the win. And you've got two guys with their backs to you. You know you've got also double fusion grenades. And it's just like, doink, doink.
Oh, yeah.
And then, oh, it's just one of the best feelings.
Oh, yeah. You're just like, all right, this is how we're playing this now. Mm-hmm. You looked away from the warlock. You're now going to have to pay for this mistake.
Never turn your back on a warlock. I mean, stupid. Ever. Oh my God.
You wait until that counter is gone before you take a breath. Like,
That's right.
I have definitely been on both sides of that. There have been moments where I've had to focus on like another enemy and I hear the self-res noise behind me and it's just like,
right.
Oh, shit just got real.
Yeah.
Okay. Pick your single favorite piece of exotic gun gear and armor.
Ooh.
Well, that's easy for me. That's easy.
As we know, his favorite gun. Easy.
It's Mida. Yeah.
Yep.
Mida all the way.
And your favorite exotic armor? Piece of armor. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't even know. I wore that the vest. How was it? I could get double fusion grenades. That's all I remember.
It was
Thomas? A vest or
Not Void Fang vestments. It was
The other one. Void Fang. Well, Void Fang vestments would give you a second. No, it wouldn't give you a second.
You would
grenade.
Spawn. You would always spawn with one.
Which was nice. But you're talking about shit. It has a year to Starfire Protocol.
There
Starfire
it is. Protocol. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I wore that all the time. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thomas.
I think. So my favorite exotic is going to have to be No Land Beyond, just because of just how silly of a weapon it was and how scary it was when somebody was good with it.
Oh, yeah.
I was never good with it, but I always enjoyed using it. Because essentially it was a sniper rifle that had an iron sight, and that's it.
Yeah.
That is the only gun of the game like that, pretty much.
Yeah. It was a primary sniper rifle with an iron sight, but it had a really fast, two reticle. So essentially, you can aim down sights real quick with it. And it was a lot of fun to use. Never good with it. But like I said, you see some of like the videos of people who got good with it, and they are scary. Mm-hmm. They're monsters.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
Yep. As for my favorite armor, I think it'd have to be Transverse of Steps.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, I was always a fan of... I mean, essentially, the way they worked in Destiny 1... They're back in Destiny 2, but they work a bit differently. In year one, whenever you ran, you'd run over ammo and it would reload your gun. And then it also gave you, I want to say it was a boost to movement speed, I think. Yeah. But, and I didn't use them all that much in Crucible. In Crucible, it was always going to be like the what is it?
That came out during
Obsidian Mind.
That didn't come, because that was not a year one.
That was not a year one, though. That was Taken King.
Yeah.
Obsidian Mind was really, really good, God. But I mean,
you'd have to if you ran that Obsidian. Yeah, if you ran that Obsidian Mind bad juju combo. Oof.
Oh God, that was the best. But I would think Transversal Steps had to beat it out just a little bit, just because I had more fun with Transversal Steps.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to Nova Bomb real quick was great and all, but Transversal Steps was a real interesting thing, especially if you were rocking like a heavy machine gun.
Yeah.
Because you were in the middle of firing that and you walked over heavy ammo and you just had it full clip all over again. Yeah. You just kept on firing.
Yeah. For me, it's tough because Icebreaker.
We know what your favorite gun is.
Icebreaker was my favorite, but then it didn't get carried over to year two. Because if it had, then I would have stuck with it. But so obviously, The Last Word is my favorite.
Yeah.
But my favorite, I think my favorite armor piece is going to surprise you a little bit. My favorite armor piece is actually kind of boring. It's the Crest of Alpha Luffy.
Really?
Because
I'm not surprised by it, but
just because like hunters didn't really have that great of exotic pieces, exotic armor, and. The Crest of Alpha Luffy, I felt like, oh man, that's like a supportive role. And so one, I could use it for trials. And if you rock that with Night Stalker, man, and then you rock the thing where you push out orbs, you'd push out like 11 orbs above. Yeah. And so it's like, I just want to play support. Like, I just want to help my team out. Like that.
Right.
So yeah, that was certainly my setup.
I would say year one hunters had like terrible exotic gear.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, you had like fucking Raspberry, which was worthless. You had Knucklehead Radar, which was good, but not really necessary.
Yeah, because a lot of guns had Third Eye and Rock Mida. You're set. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, and then like Celestial Nighthawk, which is great in PvE but terrible in PvP. So, yeah, hunters had things that was like it's very good for this one specific thing. They didn't like you. They didn't have exotics that were like well rounded.
Effectively, if you saw a hunter, they were rocking like one of three different pieces of gear: either the triple jump boots, Crest of Alpha Loopy, or Knucklehead Radar, because they just didn't know any better.
Yep. So that was
year one hunters, but year two and year three was much better to hunter players.
So last thing here. I want to talk about. We're going to talk about Destiny's legacy. Where does it sit in the all-time first-person shooter list, Thomas? Now that it's pretty much over,
it's fun to play, But let's be honest, the story's a mess. The expansion packs went nowhere. Like, fucking Rise of Iron was a collection of all, like, their scraps of a storyline they never got to put into the main game, and so they just kind of hucked it out all at once, let's be fair. I wouldn't rate it highly.
Okay,
it's,
wow.
It's really, really fun to play, but it doesn't even breach the top 10.
No, I would not put it in the top 10. Would you put it in the top one? Would you put it in top 100 of all first-person shooters?
Top I would 50. Put it in the top 100 because it's fun to play, but I would... I don't know if it... I think it would be top 50, but it wouldn't be high up the top 50. Like, it's Destiny 1 was really, really fun. Destiny is a wonderful game to play. Bungie knows how to make a shooter play well. That story, the expansion packs, just the fucking bumbling with how they were updating stuff and kind of, you know, fixing cheese rather than fixing raids and strikes. Mm-hmm. I can't ignore that.
Yeah. As I know, you don't have a lot of on the history of first person shooters, but
not really. I mean, for me, it was like, I guess also where I came in at, I learned about, you know, bugs and things, and like I learned the problems with Destiny all from you guys. So like to me, it was really just I just had fun. I enjoyed it, you know. So it's a game that we have that summer. Matt and I have this summer where we just like basically camped out of his house and just plowed
play Destiny.
Destiny, like literally, we'd go to the gym, come back, and get on Destiny. It was just like crazy. But like, so I kind of overlooked a lot of, you know, flaws, I guess, just because I enjoyed it. I was playing with my friends, so that was kind of that was a cool piece for me. That's why I'm looking for like the next. If you guys recommend something, it's like, what are we doing next? You know, obviously we're doing Destiny 2, but what else do we move on to? So that's just, I don't know. It's a good experience.
Yeah, I'll say this about Destiny. It's one of my favorite games ever, mostly because of the social things it did. I've met a lot of cool people playing Destiny, like online and stuff. Like people, like I have friends now on Facebook because of Destiny that like I never would have talked to, and we like talk on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny has actually, in a lot of weird ways, changed my life for the better. It's just like, it's kind of weird. I mean, like
Thank you, Bungie.
I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, like, it's actually like people, like even like friends who I'd had before that I thought I'd never talk to again, like have come back in my life because of Destiny. It's just weird. So a lot of socially, it's an excellent game. But in terms of quality and things like that, I'm kind of with you, Thomas. I'd probably put it in the top 50, probably like in the 40s somewhere. I'll say this, and this isn't like this isn't saying it's like terrible, but it's probably the worst. It's probably the worst game Bungie has made since Halo 1. But then again, Halo 1, 2, 3, you know, Reach, they're all great games. It's pretty obvious one weekend that Destiny 2 is like so far better, like so far above and beyond Destiny 1.
We'll get to it too.
But I will say this, the game I felt improved as it went along.
Definitely.
And I think it's a great building block for where the Destiny series will go. And that's kind of my thoughts on it.
All right. Well.
Anybody have any last segment thing you guys want to get in about Destiny?
Just that I haven't uninstalled it yet. I don't know, guys.
Me either. Yeah.
It's still there. I couldn't do it. So it's
like, yeah.
I got to wait and see how
Destiny. I'm waiting. You know, I feel like there's going to be something where we need. Like they're gonna say, hey, if you log into Destiny 1, you can get this. I just feel like there's
I see them pull that.
I could see them doing that too. Like so I'm waiting. So
it's crazy.
Okay, hey guys, Box Trick 3.0 is we're calling it. First episode of the books, I think went pretty well. So we will now be on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, still on YouTube, just about everywhere. As where can people find you on social media?
Oh, wow. Actually, you can find me on Instagram at womprat_2meters. And you know what? That's also my gamer tag. Gosh dang it. So go ahead. I wish we still had private matches, all right?
Yeah.
You know what?
Bring it.
I got a fire team. I got my boys, all right? So you can find me there. Also,
challenge is out.
Yeah, yep. Just out there. I'm always open for a little 1v1. You know, so also run another podcast called Second Breakfast. Run that with Matt. And yep. we need to have Thomas on that actually sometime.
We will, yeah.
Got a lot to say. So
I actually have a video in mind. I just bought the novelization version of Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2.
I've read those and they're terrible.
I'm gonna make Ez read them since he's never played the games, and I kind of want Ez to read them and then tell me what he like what the story is, so I can just can just see what it is without having any idea. And so then we'll publish it on both podcasts and see. Because I've always seen them and wanted to read them, but they're amazing. I know the story. So like,
I'm hoping to correct Matt at some point. Like, according to the novelization,
and my millions of hours in Metal, at least certainly in Metal Gear Solid 2, it's by far. I mean, it's one of my most played games ever.
Yeah.
It's obviously the reference towards this channel, but I'd say you could find Thomas on the internet, but I don't think he has a Twitter or Instagram.
I don't exist on the internet. I'm an illusion.
Yeah.
I don't exist, but you know, Facebook has a shadow profile just a million miles deep on me.
That's true. Well, you can always just leave comments and I'll relay them to Thomas, but you can find me on the internet at Super Making Games Bros.
Feel bad now.
It's fine. Just about anywhere. That's it. Stay tuned for more. We'll be posting more. And as always, thanks for listening.